Listen now to the Chapel Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. In the various services on the campus, speakers challenge students, faculty, and staff from the Word of God. We bring you these messages on the Chapel Platform. Our speaker today is Evangelist Dr. Jerry Savinsky from Star, South Carolina. He preached this message at a Bible conference service on Friday, March 23, 1990. His text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. The topic today is temptation, and we're reminded that logic and reasoning can't be used upon temptation. We can only use the authority of God's Word. Let's listen to his message titled, How to Deal with Temptation.
All right, take your Bibles with me and go to Matthew chapter 4, if you will. And while you're turning there, I do appreciate this choir of teenagers from the academy. I thank God for the opportunity of speaking to many teens every summer. As a matter of fact, for the last number of years, I've been able to speak at different youth ministries. And this coming summer, I'll be speaking at the Wilds and Bill Rice Ranch, Camp Kobiak, and also Ironwood out in California. And look at me, I tell you right now, I thank God for young people like you. I'm honored to speak to you, and I thank God for this privilege. And I pray God's best upon your lives. I want to say this afternoon that Dr. Bob this morning had no idea what I was speaking on this afternoon. And it's amazing how God leads and how God ties messages together. And I hope this message will be a real help to your life this afternoon. Before I preach it, though, I want to say there are a few people in this room that mean a great deal to my life. I would not be standing here, really, if God did not use some of these men in my life. There's a man here who was my soul-winning partner in West Virginia. His name is Doc Summers. He and I went soul-winning a great deal. And through that, God called me to preach. He's a man I deeply love, and I'm so glad he's here today. And then I thank the Lord for the friendship of Dr. Bob III, Dr. Bob Wood, Dr. Bob Jones. And I'm going to say to you as a student, you are sitting under men of God who can help shape your life if you allow God to do that. And I pray that will be the case. Keep your heart open to the Word of God, okay? Allow God to speak to you. My message deals in the area of how you to deal with temptation. Let's all stand right now, please. I want to read Matthew 4 and verse 1 to you. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. May be seated. In Matthew chapter 4, we find the time of the great temptation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was tempted of the devil. As you go through life, the Word of God says, you likewise will be tempted by the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Luke 22:31, Christ said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So the devil tries to devour, resist, hinder, and sift every child of God, and our lives are no exception. But would you look in verse 2 at the timing of this temptation? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Look this way, please. I always get a chuckle while this passage when it says he was afterward and hungered. I guess if I had no food in my body for 40 days and 40 nights, I'd be in hunger too, wouldn't you? I know what it means to fast. I did it wrong. Can I tell you about it? My very first trip to Bob Jones, my very first time, I was a senior in high school and I came down to visit Bob Jones. And there was another young man with me who was a very religious young man. We got in the car, and I greatly admired this young man. I looked up to him a great deal. I was a brand new convert. And this guy had been saved for years as a young man, and I greatly admired him. We got in the car, and he said, "Jerry, I'm going fast for the next 2 days going down to South Carolina." I had never fasted in my entire life. I ate 5 meals a day, buddy, you know. And so I said, "Well, I'm going fast too." We got in the car. We started coming to South Carolina from West Virginia. And for lunch, we stopped, and the pastor got out of the car, and he went to the restaurant. We sat in the car. He came back and said, "Young man, aren't you going to eat lunch?" He said, "No, I'm fasting." He said, "What about you, Jerry?" I said, "No, sir, I'm fasting also." Well, he came out and had a lovely meal, and he rubbed it in. He rubbed it in with a toothpick of how good the meal was. We got back in the car, started going on the road. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my stomach started growling so loud. Has your stomach ever growled so loud? You try to push it out and pull it in and shut it up, you know? It was getting so loud. And make things worse, I saw these billboards of big bottles of Pepsi and big cheeseburgers. And so that night we stopped for supper, and when we did, the pastor said, "Young man, aren't you going to eat supper?" And very piously he said, "No, sir, I'm fasting." He said, "What about you, Jerry?" I said, "No, sir, I'm fasting also." Well, that night, I went to bed for the very first time in my entire life without any food in my body. And that night, I did not count sheep, I counted cheeseburgers. I was dying for food. Well, the next morning, we got up for breakfast. And we go to breakfast, and this guy's getting irritated. He said, "Young man, are you going to eat breakfast?" He said, "No, sir, I'm fasting." He said, "What about you, Jerry?" I look like death warmed over by now. I said, "No, sir, I'm fasting also." Well, that afternoon, he had a friend here in Greenville. We were supposed to go to their home. We got there at 12, and when I opened the car door, this lady had a big table on the patio with a big old bowl of mashed potatoes right in the middle with a half a stick of butter in the middle, and the steam was coming out of my nose. She also had a big bowl of green beans and South Carolina tea and biscuits. And she had to go in the house and get something. And this pastor was so upset because we're not eating. He turned to this young man. He said, "Young man, are you going to eat lunch?" He said, "No, sir, I'm fasting." He said, "Jerry, what about you?" I said, "No, sir, I'm fasting also." He got so mad at me. He said, "Jerry, now you're fasting because he is. Now why don't you eat?" And I said, "Okay." But I tell you, my friend, with no food in your body, you're weak. And you know, I don't know where you're weak. But the devil tempted Christ when he thought Christ was at his weakest point of his life. The devil's going to find out where you are weak. He's going to attack you in that area. And how does the devil tempt God's people? First of all, would you look with me at verse 3? "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command for these stones be made bread.'" Look here, please. The first area is the lust of the flesh. That deals with the sensual. Let me ask you a question. Could the Lord pick the stone up, spoke unto the stone, and that stone could have come a loaf of homemade bread? Yes, he could have done that. What was the devil trying to get Christ to do? He was trying to get Christ to satisfy an appetite of his body. Please listen with me. Teenagers, you college students especially, there are strong desires in your body as a teenager, as a college student. And the devil's going to do his best to try to make you fall into sensuality. Young lady, look at me. He's going to try to rob you of your purity. Look at the young man. He'll try to rob you of your purity. And the devil said to Christ, "Satisfy the craving." And what did Christ do? Look at verse 4, please. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" What did he do? The Bible says he used the authority of God's word to combat the temptation. And when Christ did not give in, the devil did not walk away and leave Christ alone, just like he'll not walk away from you. Therefore, he tempted Christ in the second area, which is the lust of the eyes. Look with me now at verse 5 and 6. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Look here, please. Second of all, the devil tries to tempt us with the sensational. You know, people thrive on the sensational. Many years ago, when my boys were home, I promised them, as we were in meetings in Florida, I said, Boys, Dad's going to take you to Circus World. And they said, Oh, Dad, we're going to go so bad. And they said, Dad, we want to go on the roller coaster. I said, Guys, you don't want to go on the roller coaster. They said, Dad, we want to go on the roller coaster. I said, Look at me, guys. You don't want to go on the roller coaster. They said, Dad, are you chicken? And I went, bah, bah. No, I did not want to go on the roller coaster. I did not want to go. But being tough as I am, I said, Hey, we'll go. I did not want to go on that crazy thing. At that time, it was the fastest one in America. And so we got on this crazy thing, this roller coaster. My son beside me, Brent, Todd's behind me. And whoever invented the thing ought to be shot. It sounds like a death rattle on your throat. And so it took off, and I'm trying to hold the whole thing back. I don't want to go up that hill. I look over, and there's Brent. He's got his eyes closed like this. And I said, No, sir, son, you get those eyes open. He said, All right, Dad. And so I'm trying to hold it. I don't want to go up there. We're getting close to the top. And all of a sudden, almost at a dead stop, that thing dropped 65 miles an hour. My stomach bounced against my eyeballs. I mean, that thing was going every direction. Want to stop to myself, not in front of them. I said, Thank the Lord that's over with. When all of a sudden they said, Dad, can we go again, huh? Went around it twice, but that wasn't the worst thing. They had this crazy rocket down there. Let me illustrate to you, please, all right? This is rocket, and this is big wheel. The rocket goes real slowly like this. And so we start out, but it's on a large arm, and it's got this outward wheel like this. This starts out real slow, and the rocket starts out real slow like that. Then it picks up speed and goes at an angle. It's like this, and the rocket's going like this. Then soon, this thing is going full speed, and the rocket's going like that. When that thing stopped, my eyeballs were kissing each other. Why do people love things like that? You don't find old people liking things like that. When's the last time you saw a grandma in a red vest saying to you, Hey, sonny, you want to lay some rubber on the road, huh? But you know something? There's a striking statement here. The devil said, Cast thyself down. You know what the devil does to you guys? Look at me, please. The devil says to you guys, Hey, cast down the idea that you get spiritual, man. You're in sports. Hey, you got to be cool, man. You don't want to get too spiritual on God. You're a young man. You got to live your whole life. He says, you young ladies, cast down the idea that you've got to sell out to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The lust of the eyes is a strong temptation. What did Christ do? Would you please look with me at the next verse? In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What did Christ do? He came back and used the authority of God's word to overcome the temptation. Now, there's one more temptation. I want to show that to you. And I think it's very significant of the divine order and how the Bible records it. Third of all, the devil tempted Christ in the pride of life. That deals with the sacrificial. Would you all look at verse 8 and 9? Again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain, and show them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now listen, please, look up here and listen to me, because I want to tell you something which I believe is right. I believe the devil saved his strongest temptation for last. You see what I mean by that? I believe the devil reasoned and said, if Christ will not fall by the lust of the flesh, if he'll not give in to the lust of the eyes, I'll save my strongest temptation. The thing that I fell by, maybe he will fall by. What was the downfall of the devil? It was pride. Listen, please. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14 says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the signs of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times Lucifer said, I will be like God. Pride was a downfall of the devil. What is one of the most crucial things that you and I always have to battle is the area of pride. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17 says, these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Jeremiah 45 and verse 5, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Matthew 23 and verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Listen, people, pride is a cursed impurity. And the devil will always appeal to your pride. He wants you to sacrifice the eternal for the enjoyment of the temporal. In other words, he says to you, sacrifice those things which are of great value in God's sight, that you as a young person may now enjoy the time of your youth. Some of you in this room, if you're not careful, are going to shatter your life of ever being used of God. If you put finances, if you put sports, if you put materialism before God Almighty, you're going to find the devil has you in the area of where he wants to destroy your testimony for Jesus Christ. And when the devil tempted Christ and said, fall down, worship me, I'll give you all these things. Look what Christ said in the next verse, please, in verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What did he do? He came right back and used the authority of God's word. Now would you please look at me and listen to this. Because I believe I only preached one time to you people and that was it. I never saw you again. What I'm preaching you right now is what I want to tell you. I think this is so crucial. Listen, if you will, to this. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used the authority of the Bible to overcome temptation, then why don't I use the authority of God's Word to overcome my temptation? The problem with all of us is this. When we face temptation so often, we use logic and reason upon our temptation. I have a great weakness. Can I share it with you? My weakness is I love German chocolate cakes. That is my favorite cake, all right? This past Christmas, my wife Sharon said, honey, can I make you a German chocolate cake? I said, no, Sharon, please do not. You see, why? I'll tell you why right now. When my wife makes me a German chocolate cake, I'll have a small piece, about that big, you know? And then we'll all be in our great room, and we're all having a good time as a family. And I'll kind of sneak by myself into the kitchen. And I'll walk over to this place where she keeps the German chocolate cake with a lid over it. And I'll walk in and make sure no one's in the kitchen. And I'll just grab the lid, and I'll pull off, and I'll Oh, nothing smells as good as a German chocolate cake. And I'll put the lid back on real fast and say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I'll stand there and say, now, Jerry, you run 4 and 5 miles a day. And by the way, I still do, guys. I still run 3-4 times a week or 5 miles a day. And I'll say, you run a lot, Jerry. Hey, you can afford it. And I'll say, sure, I can. So I'll take the lid off. I'll cut another small piece like this. Now, listen to this. My wife's here to verify this. I am not satisfied until I eat the whole cake. Now, you know what? You can't use logic upon temptation. You can't use reason upon temptation. You have to use the authority of God's Word. For example, I was in meetings not too long ago in North Carolina, and while I was there, I met a lady. I had 3 meals in her home, and I was back there again for meetings, and when I walked in the house, I was shocked. I said, man, I can't believe it. I said, you've lost a lot of weight. She said, I certainly have. I've lost 60 pounds, Jerry. I said, my. I said, well, how did you do it? She said, Jerry, I used God's plan. I said, God's plan? She said, yes, I have used every plan in the United States and abroad. She said, and I've lost 1,200 pounds in my lifetime. Well, I've gained it all back, you know. Lose 20 and put 20 back on. Lose 10 and put 20 on. But this time I used God's plan. I said, well, tell me about God's plan. And this is what she told me. She said, I took Philippians 4 and verse 13, put it on my refrigerator, and when I walked in the kitchen, every time I was tempted to open the refrigerator, I'd hold onto the door and I'd read Philippians 4 and verse 13 out loud. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. She said, I would quote the verse over and over and over until I lost my desire for food. And that's how I've lost 60 pounds and kept it off for over a year. You know what? The Bible, I believe, is my authority in every area of my life, and especially the area of temptation. I want to give you 5 verses that I have used personally when I'm tempted that I found very effective. And I want to have you all take these down or else listen as I quote them, please. I'm going through life like you are, and I face a temptation. Here are the 5 verses I have used. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Look here, please. I have used those verses in my life over and over again to combat temptation. And I can stand here and tell you, if you do what God's Son did, you'll find Christ delivering you from your temptation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. May this message go deep in the heart of those in this room. For those who are struggling with a sin, a temptation, may they use the Word of God to combat temptation, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You've just heard the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, please write and tell us the speaker, Dr. Jerry Savinsky, the title of his message, How to Deal with Temptation, and also be sure to mention today's date. Along with this, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Join us again next time for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.